me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
And this is the way, the way, the way, the way.
We rock the high.
You like them big hairy balls, don't you?
Baby.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Don't touch that dial.
Yeah! What's poppin'? Konnichiwa! Que lo que pasa? Shalom, motherfuckers! It's Thursday night. You're listening live at SkidRowStudios.com to the Nestorious Public Radio Show. I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez.
Yo, this is Simon Kaufman bringing it to you live. All you motherfucking whack-ass podcasts out there, you can suck it because we're bringing the heat, spinning flames at you Thursday night, 9 p.m. at Skid Row in downtown L.A. on Nestorious Public Radio. Oh, oh, oh.
And my man Rich Corbin to my left.
How do you follow that?
Just like damn. That. Just like that.
That's some cold, dope, straight shit.
That, just
God.
Like that.
Damn. Wow.
Just like that.
You thought of that all by yourself. You rehearsed that just, about a few minutes
just
before.
Just like that. Just like
damn.
That.
Damn.
And today.
You got some words in your head.
And tonight, we're going to welcome the beautiful Dr. Lamore Blockman.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I mean, I really can't follow any of these things. I can fix erectile dysfunction, but I can't.
You can
do this.
Fix erectile dysfunction, but you can't rap.
No.
Yo, yo, yo.
Save my life.
Yo, yo. Your penis is flop, flip, flop, flibbity. Don't stop, rock the dip, dip, dibbity. Just call 1-800-BLOCKMAN to get it straight.
Yo, when it's dangling, you pick up your phone and ring-a-ling-a-ling, call Dr. D-Mall and get it back on track again. Yo, we just up in the studio rapping in. NPR, what's happening?
Sugar now. You don't stop because I'm coming now. Yeah, you don't stop, rock the house. Anyway, you don't have to. It's all good. Well, welcome. I mean.
Thank you. Thank you. It's such a pleasure.
Yes. Introduce yourself. So you have a show here on Skid Row Studios.
I do. I have a show here. It's called Sex and Dippity.
Sex and Dippity.
And I, you know, I'm a sex therapist. So what I do on the show is try to bring the more, you know, kind of scientific side of my occupation. And of course, we try to make it fun and dirty and filthy and disgusting. Yeah. Yeah. As we can.
Disgusting.
You try to.
We try.
Those words, dirty and disgusting to sex, those are like kind of...
but like in a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Hit
see,
light.
We... Yeah, yeah, yeah. She tries
it's
to
really
make it...
It's really very glaring.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't shut the light
this
off.
This is not a good lighting
right now, right now.
I look so much better right
bam.
Now. I look so
go.
Much better.
Bam. I feel,
see,
yeah. It's
she,
already
there we go.
So see, sultry.
She's trying to make it disgusting.
Get the fuck off a hairy, dirty, and disgusting man.
See, we try hard not to try to be disgusting.
No,
it
we want
gets
you
that
to
way.
Be. No, okay. Honestly, it's not okay. True. Women do want men to be disgusting.
That's one of my questions. But yeah. We're not going to go yet right to the
okay.
To the jugular. What
yeah,
do women
gonna,
want?
Yeah,
we're not going to go to
you
that.
Do, you're going to do some foreplay.
No, well, I want to know about you. I want to know where you come from. Where were you born? How'd you get into sex therapy? You know, the whole nine yards. I want to
yeah.
Know about you.
So where do you want me to start?
I mean, you can start wherever you are. Where were you born?
I'm Israeli,
Israel.
Originally from Israel.
So you're born
and
Israel.
Raised.
Meifo.
Haifa, originally.
Okay.
Served
were
the
you
army.
In the Israeli army?
I was.
You were?
I,
you fucking Israeli women in the army. Holy shit. They're gorgeous.
I
every
did.
Every one of them. You ever see that? You remember that?
Yeah, that's why Nestor always says, I'm, help me, lays by on the side of the railroad tracks.
No, but did
Nestor, you got to stop doing that.
Dude, do you remember that? Earlier in one of our episodes, there was that photo
yeah.
Of those three women, and they were like...
It was a scandal.
It was mm-hmm. A scandal?
There was a scandal
oh,
with the Israeli
they,
women.
They were topless.
Putting
on
their
topless,
and I'm like, Jesus Christ, these women...
Oh, we did it all the time.
I'm sure, but I'm saying... what, I mean, and no wonder guys joined the army.
We did a topless
yes.
Photo online. We didn't get much of a response.
I know,
ours didn't get much.
Okay,
yeah,
so...
Don't
so,
usually do that.
So you were in the Israeli army. Interesting.
I
didn't know
yes.
That. I was going to ask you that.
Yes, it's 2 years. Honestly, you know, as them... I don't know if it's like a Jap. It's not really like an American princess, but I was kind of a very, you know, kind of ballet, did the whole thing. And then you have to join the army. It's mandatory. And it's like you don't like it. You have to eat dirt and you have to shoot a rifle and it's run around and sweat. And I don't do uniform
well,
so well.
Right.
So I don't like uniform.
Right.
So you cut off the sleeves. You put a sash around it.
Course, yeah. Yeah, and it's not
some
allowed.
Pins, you some can't brochets. Do any of that. No, you can't do any of that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So.
Israeli army was too conforming for you, too restrictive.
It was, and honestly, I always get that question about how did I end up doing sex therapy.
Yeah.
So the main, I'm gonna cut it short because when I my bachelor degree is in psychology, in behavioral science.
Yes.
So you know every psychology student 101, you know, first class, you're convinced you're gonna be the next Freud, and then you fall asleep.
Right.
And then it's boring shit, and you're like, ugh, I can't do this.
It's interesting. But boring.
Yeah,
sometimes.
The 101, the usually the basic shit classes are really
start talking about how the eyeballs work.
Yeah, and it's really this kind is your of ear. Boring.
Right, when you start researching Dahmer and those guys, that's when it gets juicy.
Right, but still, I kind of decided that I wasn't going to be just a clinical psychologist, and it was kind of boring to me, and I was looking for a different avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met to cut a long story short, I just met a sex therapist at a party.
Mm-hmm.
That I attended, and it just hit me. I said, this is what I want to do. And all
was
the
it
way
a male
there,
or a female?
It was a male.
And you guys were just talking, hey, how you doing? What do you
we
do?
We were
I'm
talking,
a sex therapist.
And of course, yeah, and he told me about what he does, and it sounded much more interesting, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, I have to say that I do, I came across that sensation that I do have a problem with grief and things that are too deep and kind of...
Grief.
Yeah, okay. I don't relate very well to it, others and myself as well.
Right.
And so, you know... And erectile dysfunction could be sad, not as sad. So nobody really cries on my
Well, people grieve when they can't get an erection. So
right,
it's kinda,
but not
it's
to that
grieving.
Extent. Right.
No, but that's very interesting to note that you don't deal with grief.
I don't.
Did you know that all the way, or did you find that out through your own therapy?
I found that through therapy and through, you know, death in the family and stuff like that.
Right.
And I really knew that I really kind of sensed that I couldn't deal with it well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've always had, you know, profound interest in sex, so. Right.
Profound interest in sex, like,
meaning,
curious about it?
Well, I was an experimental teenager. Mm-hmm.
Got
very
it. Got it.
Intense.
Got it. Okay.
And so.
Yeah. So you loved, you enjoyed and you loved sex, so you were interested in furthering.
Well, obviously, I do think that if you choose something that, even subconsciously, you choose something that you want to deal with, as an occupation, as a job,
mm-hmm.
that you find intriguing. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it's really very sad living, mm-hmm, in my mm-hmm. opinion.
Yeah, well.
Especially that I spent 10 years studying, so it should be something that I found
interesting. If you love what you do, then you never work a day in your life. Isn't
right,
that the quote,
exactly.
something like that?
Yeah, true.
So, okay, so how do you go from grief to sex therapy? So you said you met a guy who was a sex therapist at a party,
right.
and then you found out that you didn't do too well with grief.
Right.
So how do you go from that to
well,
grief
I,
to that?
Well, I found that I didn't want to do something that can get me to deal with these kind of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And clinical psychology in general could get you there, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And so I was looking for something that is very specific and also that I found very interesting. And mm-hmm. sex therapy seemed interesting.
Got it.
And so I just, you know, I went through the whole system of getting my master's and then my PhDs in human sexuality. Mm-hmm.
And so, this was in Israel or in
no,
in the
well,
States?
my bachelor and my master's were both in Israel, and the PhD is from San Francisco. And
of course,
yeah, that's the main place to
the
be.
The liberated city of sexual,
yes, definitely. I have to
perversions.
Note, yes, perversions is very true because I have to note that I was the party pooper, me. Someone that is always seen as provocative and too intense. I was the one that, ugh, I don't want to go to the power exchange and have like fire.
Put on my
people,
ass.
Yeah, and like people beating up on me. I don't feel like doing it. I was like ruining it for everybody.
Right.
And I was the one that wouldn't take my clothes off for some SAR experiment.
Yeah.
That was one of these courses that sexologists need to do.
Okay. So you have to do those courses.
You
as
have
a sex
to.
Therapist.
It's mandatory.
Take off your clothes for what?
Well, it was sensual massage. You have to kind of exhibit that you're comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just the emergence of camera phones.
Okay.
And I said, no fucking way. I'm not taking my clothes off. There
are
camera phones.
Are gonna,
And so, no. And I didn't. And I was punished for it. I had to write a whole
essay.
Yeah.
On masturbation.
Well, on the fact that I was, I was being a bad student.
You know, you had to, they were.
I had
they
to
were
cover up for that part yeah. that I didn't yeah. take.
So you didn't subject yourself to that part of
no, I
the
never
normal
did.
Process.
Right, and I found that experiment very educational because I found a lot about myself doing that. That right. I wasn't, you know, I always thought that I was much more out there mm-hmm. than I really was.
Right. And you found out that there were way many more people who were way out there.
Yes. Well, all my friends, yeah. All my friends were different kind of, you know, aspects of extreme sexuality. My best friend there was an FTM. I don't know for your listeners that don't know that. It's a female-to-male transgender, meaning that she was getting a penis.
Yes.
And that's much more extreme than the norm that
Simon,
most people
Simon's
know.
Going through that. He's yeah. in his preliminary yeah. psychological... Yeah.
Right now, my penis is in a drawer. I'm keeping it. I water it at night.
Yes,
yeah, well, I water it at night. I take it for walks.
He's growing it on his thigh right now.
The thing is, you have to go through psychological evaluation for a while before you can actually get your first treatments because,
right.
because they want to make sure...
For a while, they were doing it at the Rite Aid, and it just got out of hand.
I was trying to tell you.
He got in the wrong line.
They were doing it at the Target right around the back by the cafeteria.
Simon is actually a woman, I mean, but he's been taking hormone therapy.
Yes, so.
Look at the
yeah,
big beard
very,
on him.
Yeah.
And his deep voice, so yeah, it's working out.
Yeah, I think so.
It's working well for you.
Yeah, it's working really well. I've been having some nice dates.
I know.
It's been really lovely.
There's still time. You could turn back.
Yeah. You can still turn back.
You know, that's a very interesting subject.
Yeah.
In all seriousness.
I agree.
And that's one of the show topics that I have for a future
yeah.
date.
Yeah.
It's just a very interesting thing because a lot of people, first of all, there's homosexuality, right?
Yes.
Then there's bisexuality, right? Most guys are like, come on, bisexual, fucking pick a
greedy
team.
Greedy motherfuckers.
You know what I mean?
Yes, you
want
to fuck everybody.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the thing is, I have to agree, but, there's a separation to the rule. And the thing is this, women are innately, naturally bisexual.
Okay.
All women are.
Okay.
How do we know this?
We know this because biologically, female sexuality is fluid, meaning that women are prone to be attracted to both sexes. Now, whether they are practicing that or not, that's a different story.
You think some of them repress that at a certain age and they go, no.
Definitely. No. Most women don't act on it.
When you
most
say attracted, like a woman would come up to another woman and say, your hair is so beautiful, but
not
I would
that.
Never go to
no,
Nestor
no, no,
and be
no,
like,
no,
dude,
no.
I like your
I
ass in those jeans.
Like, no, no, no. I'm not
like
even
that.
Talking about verbally. I'm talking about...
Visual.
And I'll give you... Being stimulated by another yeah. woman... And the mere fact that you have in any porn, you have a female-to-female
yeah.
act
yeah.
because it's so common, because it attracts and it talks, and it is relevant for both males and females, because females do find it attractive.
Well, it's a male fantasy.
Never, yes, it's a male fantasy, but it's a female fantasy as
it's
well.
It's a natural state for a woman.
Right. Right, but women mostly are very confused by it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're fluid.
I'm
yes,
totally
of course, and just
by.
Send
like,
me pictures.
I'm like, that seems very natural
right.
to me.
But all through growing up, though, I mean, you know, before, you know, behaviors
you
learned and all that, you know, the little kids on the playground, the girls
that
are always
is,
holding hands, you know, the girls
true,
are always...
holding hands and even touching each other.
Right.
Because it's natural.
Right.
For
mm-hmm.
women, it is natural. Only society suppresses
right.
it.
Right.
And we come across a lot of...
But couldn't you argue it's natural for guys?
No.
Why?
Well, it isn't, because biologically it's not. You know,
okay.
women, just by nature, female sexuality is fluid, male sexuality isn't. And so when you say...
Female sexuality is what?
Is fluid.
Fluid.
Yes.
Okay.
And there are many essays and books about...
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by fluid?
Fluid meaning that you can go each way and you don't have a specific orientation.
Got it. Okay.
You don't really have to be geared
got
towards.
Got it.
Fluid.
Now,
traffic ahead both
right.
directions.
You know, let me tell you something. Some of my listeners are still fucking... collecting WIC checks, okay?
Yeah.
They're still on the food stamp line. They have not fucking passed their first level of Hooked on Phonics, and I like to break the shit down as much as I
no,
can.
No, it's true,
yeah.
because
okay?
it is confusing. I mean, I'm saying
no,
it because...
This yeah. is all informative.
Right.
You can't assume everybody knows
No,
everything.
And most people would not know
you,
this.
You, because you're a transgendered woman as a man,
right.
yeah. you're fluid, so
you're
you know what's going
with
on.
That.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
You, because you spell AD.
Hey, let me ask you, are you going the balls too, or just the
no,
penis?
No, he's keeping them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Anyway, listen.
I want a nice back pair to the fluid. Slap on your forehead next time you fall asleep.
Well, I mean, that's why I had you grow them. I paid for this shit.
Back to the fluid.
It's gradual. Yes.
So.
Yeah, here.
So what?
That's a very high expectation, I have to say.
What I get from what you're saying also, the other aspect of it is that women are more, from how I look at it, women are more more sensual and more emotional.
Right. Meaning, women are the first sex.
That's more of a scientific perspective, right? I'm just going from like looking at the window, you know, being around women, you know, having, you know, whatever. Just, you see, men are not emotional guys.
Right.
And we're not very.
That's also a social cultural matter.
Yes. But we're not very sensual either. We're not like.
Well, women are much more. The female, you know, is innately, again, very sensual, very interested. But you can, that's very specific. But in general, the whole idea, and I really like to mention it everywhere I go, because I want to kind of put aside that whole confusion that women feel when they find other women attractive. It's not something that is wrong about you. It's not something that, oh, am I a lesbian? I don't like these titles.
You mean guys? Guys think there's something wrong with them if they're a girl.
Women shouldn't feel bad about it because she's saying it's normal. But guys, but with guys, because Nestor was saying that's selfish, and that's how we started. So you're saying women, it's natural, but guys, it's selfish.
What is selfish?
Being bisexual.
It's not. No, I'm not saying.
I didn't say it was selfish.
I didn't say selfish at all.
I said.
I was kidding, but let me ask you.
Yeah.
2,000 years ago, cultures were different. Were men?
They still
more,
are in different places.
But were men?
You're talking about Western society.
Yeah. Okay. So, but are men more affectionate towards one another in other cultures? Yes. Or 1,000 years ago?
Yes.
Or,
they were.
Ethiopia. Yes. Not anywhere we know.
It's Western society is problematic when it comes to sexuality and
Eastern.
Greek, Romans, they were sleeping with each other.
That is very true, he's saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But you don't see them doing that now, and you don't see Asians doing that, any Eastern civilizations doing that.
Eastern it's a little different. I'm not sure about any Hindu civilization. Right.
Oh, that's completely frowned upon.
Well, it's questioned.
Nowadays.
Not necessarily even then. But the thing is, if you take the Roman and the Greek Empire, for instance, homosexuality was not related to as an aspect of orientation.
Right.
It was just a matter of what I find attractive. And boys, specifically, were used as a tool of sensuality. Mm-hmm. Women were just prone to have kids, to bear kids.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't looked at as a sexual being.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Hookers were prostitutes, but not women. Mm-hmm. The respectful women, respectable women, were not looked at. So boys were used for that.
Boys were like the go between.
Right.
Before you could afford a hooker, and you have to be with your, you know, respectable wife, you get a little boy.
So back to biologically.
Yeah.
What's the answer? Why are men biologically not, but women are? It would seem to be like, especially after what you said about Greece and Rome, that the same thing. It's the same. Both feel weird about it, but both
No, they didn't feel even weird about it. That was very acceptable. It was not frowned upon.
No. I'm saying you said you like to mention bisexual women so that they don't feel weird about it.
Because women are bisexual. Women are innately, in general, as a sex, bisexual. Men, I'm not saying that bisexuality doesn't exist, but I am saying that for men, male sexuality is very different from female sexuality. We can go on and on about
that. Yes.
But in specific, males that are bisexual have a tendency to be attracted mostly to men and also maybe to women.
Right, right.
But it's not, they're more prone to homosexuality.
They're first law.
Bisexual,
Whereas women,
but you know what?
They're more prone to the men, but every once in a while at college, during Greek week,
they do a selfie
at a party.
We went into this whole... to like left field. The only reason I even mentioned bisexuality is because it was just one other thing.
Right.
But transgendered or transsexuality.
Right.
That's another world. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
So all I was saying is that, and then we'll move on because I have a bunch of other questions
related
to other stuff, is that, you know, so all that other stuff, people don't know, were you born being gay, bisexual, blah, blah, blah. But then you go into the transgendered stuff where, you know, someone is born a woman, let's say, in a man's body.
Gender dysphoria.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they're miserable. You
Extremely.
See them.
Extremely.
You see them.
Extremely.
A perfect example and a celebrity example would be Chaz Bono.
Right.
Now, if you've seen the documentary, and I've met her, him, I should say.
Him.
I've met him a couple of times. I met him before.
Yeah, before the transition.
When he was doing hormone therapy.
Right.
And then after. Mm-hmm. Right? And night and day. It's almost as if somebody's home, but the lights aren't on.
Yeah,
and
it's then, very sad.
And
it's
then
so
after,
frustrating.
And after, boom, the light's on and they become
Absolutely.
Who they're supposed to be.
Absolutely.
You know, that's an amazing thing. But
it is.
And what I was going to get to was that's a topic that I want to discuss on,
yes.
on the show. Because now with that whole realm of, you know, a lot more people understanding that
Our
psychology.
Alert to know, yeah.
Right? Then there's this other aspect of, which has happened here in California,
yes.
where in elementary schools, if you're a transgendered or if you feel like you're a woman inside of a boy's body,
right.
you can use a woman's bathroom. And
oh,
that's
really?
A law.
They started a law? When did it pass?
I think it passed maybe, I don't know, 6 months ago or something like
really?
That.
Really? So it's a new thing. That's terrific.
Yeah. So it's to give, well, it's controversial because then, you know, that lends itself to the thought of, okay, so now any
maybe
little
we're
boy.
Maybe we're pushing them to.
Well, I'm saying maybe we're pushing them to it, right? How do you know at 5 years old that you were born?
Well, they do know.
I got it. But I'm saying I'm playing the devil's advocate. The
yeah, and of course,
like,
and you're right. And most very, you know, people that are not open-minded.
Well, I'm open-minded, and I still have questions about
of
it.
Of course.
Because, how, you know, Puerto Rican kids, especially young boys, they're like,
no,
yeah,
it's true.
Oh, yeah,
I want
Papo,
a skirt.
All I gotta do is say that I look, that I feel like a woman, and I can go inside of a little girl's bathroom.
Hey, yo, sometimes maybe I feel like a woman. I don't know what it is.
So you mean, hold on a second, Pancho. Hold on a second, Pancho. You mean to tell me in fifth grade, you and me can say that we have gender dysfunctionality, and we can go into a young woman's bathroom, and we can watch? That sounds good, bro.
Oh, that's it.
That's it.
That's motherfucker.
That's
it. Oh, that's
great.
So anyway, those are my questions.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I come from.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. So I wanted to talk about women's identity
yeah.
and their sexuality as their identity.
Yes.
Right? So in Western civilization especially.
Yeah.
In America.
Yeah.
Women are so obsessed. And maybe I'm using the word obsessed a little too strong,
no.
but breasts, right? Augmentation of breast.
She knew we were going to get to this topic.
No, because it's something that happens where I see, you said women are naturally more attracted to other women. I've seen women, I've been women friends of mine, they go, wow, she's got big tits. I like them.
Because women pay attention to these things.
But so do men. So do men. So
yeah,
it's not just
but
women.
You don't expect it. No, men, it's expected
but
from men.
But you don't expect it from women.
Right. A woman, it's either she's going to be catty about it,
mm-hmm.
or she's going to be attracted to it
so
and want to play
so
with it.
So you're
that.
Saying a woman's going to might be intimidated by
oh,
it.
Oh, by all means.
Okay, so that's perfect. That's another. That's one of the questions that I had.
Yeah.
So does a woman's breasts, right, does that give them...
Anything that is sexual.
But does it give them more power over women and men?
I don't know.
As a woman, right? As a woman.
You know, I assume it depends. I think it depends on your self-esteem more than the size of your breasts.
Yeah, it's how you...
I mean,
it's not the gun in the holster. It's how you can swing it.
Or there are men that have a huge dick.
But we can't see men's
like,
dicks.
Hold
on a second. If I could see, if all the men could walk around.
Not even that.
Without their pants, a lot of people would be humbled. Okay? They'd be like, oh,
that
shit.
Is, okay.
Simon, I'm sorry, bro.
Well, it would kind of even the playing field. Even if you didn't have to take your pants off, but if there was some kind of
a pin.
If it was based on your size of your nose or your ear.
Yeah.
Well, you have big earlobes, you have a big dick. And so, I do want to say
that if men that are endowed and were and got the gratification of from women that would find them, oh, what a big dick you have, and then he'll be full of confidence, that doesn't necessarily happen.
Right.
So what I'm getting at is that the size of your organs doesn't really, you know, that's not necessarily give you self-esteem. Yes, women that find themselves attractive and powerful.
Their swagger.
But hold on, hold on.
Charisma, I didn't say ability to swing.
I didn't say self-esteem. Self-esteem comes from working on yourself and building yourself up.
But I'm talking about your sexual charisma,
I'm talking about women. From what I see, women do more to make themselves bigger. This has not been something that was in the past. In the 70s, you didn't see this shit. When I was growing up, I did not see, you know, women with...
Each period has its own... It really is, and I go back, if I talk about the Greek and Roman Empire on my show a lot, I say that then all these big things, you know, even a big penis or big breasts were considered animalistic and gross.
Right.
Nobody wanted them.
Right.
What was acceptable was a small boy's penis, right, as we spoke
right
before,
right,
and small perky breasts.
Right.
Nothing more than that was acceptable.
What happened in society? When did in society did
it was,
women?
I think they
it was right around when McDonald's did the supersize.
Hold on. Did women? Did women collectively say, you know, wow, those are nice. Maybe I should get some.
I think it comes from a few things, especially the media, exposure to porn, other factors.
Porn.
Yes, because even if you watch European porn, mm-hmm, most women don't have big tits.
Right.
Okay, so it's a matter of society.
Mm-hmm. Which also could be Americans, bigger is better. Big trucks, big homes, big cars, big tits.
But capitalism.
Big belt buckles.
Also, you gave me a question about, does America's sexual suppression create a bigger need and a bigger thirst for those things that...
For everything more extreme, maybe. You know, it's very general to say.
Sure.
But yes.
Sure.
I'm guessing.
The reason I'm asking is because, just to go back to the original question topic. Idea, right? Which is, so women's identity and women's sexuality, right?
Right.
So at first glance, when I see an American woman, I've noticed that there's a big, and it's not just breasts. I'm talking about, you know, augmenting lips, making themselves look younger, all this other stuff.
Well, it's as I said, you know, the media in Hollywood specifically.
Yeah.
We live in LA, which is not typical. We tend to forget
New York
this
too.
Is not real world. Yes, but yeah. New York is also representative
kind
of the Cosmo. Yes, this is not, we're not talking, I don't know,
we tend to forget
Oklahoma.
About the 90%
yes.
of
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, the bitches be wearing big fat motherfucking titties, you know what I'm saying? They're born with big flat flip-flap, you don't stop, you know what I mean?
Let me say this, though. I think maybe when women focus just on their breasts, say they get their breasts early on in life, and that gets pointed out to them, then that becomes kind of their identity. And then they...
Some people are self-conscious. Some women are.
They are self-conscious
about
it. You
know, they get breast reduction. I mean, I know...
It just depends on how they process it. Yeah. But if women realize that they can get everything that they want or they can utilize
that... Whatever
that means. If they can use that, great. But I think that it could make people... It can make women, especially, even more shallow, or you know,
society
not necessarily.
In general.
And
why
make
are we
them
talking
more
about breasts? Look at the big asses.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody's
exactly.
talking about the big
exactly.
ass.
Yeah, well, that's another thing.
Well,
that's another thing.
It has nothing to do with your breasts. It has to do with your sensuality and your seductiveness.
He's very
it could
right.
be long legs. It could be eyes, doughy eyes. It could be
anything,
lips. It could be anything.
No.
You use what got you to
but
the...
But that's a good point.
What
you said
the
about
fair.
Asses.
Very true.
That's another thing.
Right.
So now, some women don't have big asses. Now, all of a sudden, at some point, it became this ass implant thing.
Right.
So it's like... What the fuck?
Because this is the society that kind of, you know, condones it and says, oh, it's wonderful and beautiful. It's all.
But I don't think society does condone that. I think a lot of people go, that's ridiculous.
No, it's a self-image thing.
Right, but if you watch the ridiculous, I don't own a TV, okay, as a principle.
Right.
I tend to think it's disgusting.
I hear you, I hear
and
you.
And there's nothing on TV that I want to watch,
I
honestly.
Hear you.
And to my point is reality TV is a disgusting genre
right.
that mostly pushes this, what right. you just said. And I refuse to even relate to these things.
Right.
But this is what it is. The little girls, I don't know, in their teens,
yeah.
watch these shows, and that's what they tend to think, that is beautiful, positive, good. And if you ask them, what do you want to be as an adult? I don't know. I wanted to be a teacher. As a teenager, yes, I wanted to be a literature teacher because I fell in love with French erotica when I was a teenager.
Well, you're an author now.
Yes,
right?
I am. But originally, this is all I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was going to be a sex therapist.
Right.
But I wanted to. That was my goal. I didn't want to be a celebrity. You know, it's ridiculous. Right. But this is what people want to do.
Well, I've always said one of the things that differentiates like Jewish kids growing up than a lot of other kids I meet is Jewish kids will have goals to be like an architect or a dentist.
Right.
Whereas like you go to the hood, it's either rapper.
No. As Puerto Rican kids, their goal is to be able to have a McDonald's meal every 3 days. Well, that's their fucking goal.
No, but what I'm saying is, where's the...
I'm just fucking around. I'm saying, he's right. He's absolutely right what he's saying.
It's, what you aspire to. And it's also the time, you know, I come from a very different society. I grew up under very different circumstances. And when you grow up in the Middle East, it's very different. You're more aware to things that are important,
right.
And it's not like this. But I think in general, it's the time, you know, the time. What we are exposed to is disgusting and really shallow.
It's for the stupid by the stupid. Reality TV, nothing reality.
Society.
Sure. It's been going on for a long time.
Do you think that you bring up like Roman, you know, times and all of that. Do you think that in the past 2,000 years, we've gone through phases like that, you know, where there were kind of classist things where people cared more about what they wore. And if you didn't wear a certain thing, then you were lower class or
definitely.
So it's, and then because I think in this country, it has kind of gone through
It fluctuates.
I think it's fluctuating a lot quicker nowadays because, you know, we get sick of things in 5 years and then it goes the opposite way, especially like with movies and, and I'm going to buy a big house. Now I'm going to have a little house. Oh, I'm tired of this little house. I'm going to, you know, it goes
so... I think capitalism dictates that a lot because I don't come from capitalism. I come from a socialist country.
People really don't stick to, you know, what they were brought up
with.
They're constantly changing.
And I find, you know, I'm very happy that I was brought up differently because I can recognize it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, someone that was born, you know, under these circumstances, it's more difficult to kind of put it together.
And now it's just so easy for it to be put in people's in people's faces, like you said. It's just constant.
Yes. I mean, if you're not aware.
You know, kids.
I do a whole stand-up bit about where the problem is that all the guys of my generation, we learned about women from rap music.
Right.
We did. You'll have
and
guys
that's a
walking
very
around.
Bad
well, you'll
picture.
Have guys walking around like, yo, pimps up, dude. Fucking pros before hoes. Fuck those bitches.
My
and
God.
You're like, dude, you work at Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, but you know what?
She dropped you off at work.
Yeah, but
you
know what?
Have a car.
You're rolling up in your 89 Honda Civic with a big fucking purple wing on it that you got from the junkyard, and you're like, "What's up, player?"
I know.
Yeah, but you know what though? Yes. That whole image, like you were saying, with reality TV show in the 80s with rap videos, you see these black chicks and these Latina chicks with these humongous fucking asses.
Yeah.
No one ever saw an ass that big.
Yeah.
Luke Campbell video, Me So Horny or some shit like that, right?
Right.
Nobody.
But it wasn't that acceptable.
Well, I'm not saying it was...
Acceptable within that community.
It didn't really bleed out.
It was empowering within that community.
Yeah. Right.
And it wasn't that it wasn't acceptable. It was just foreign to people.
Right. It wasn't something that...
But what I'm getting at, it's become acceptable for women, especially women in the hood or whatever.
Right.
And I've seen Asian women, Japanese women in this country with black dudes that are rappers, and they're like... Yo, bitch, what the fuck's wrong with you, man? How you fuck up and keep walking? And
women.
Yeah, yeah. No. I'm saying that to the women.
Yeah,
No, I'm saying that to the women.
Just like that thug culture.
Thug culture. Well,
prison culture has taken over.
What I'm saying is, it's not just that an Asian society is subservient, but you see this, like, that's become, you know, it's acceptable within certain circles.
But it is because it is because as a society they are subservient.
Right.
Because some women would not fucking tolerate it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because present company included.
Yeah.
I would, you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Someone talking to you like this, I don't understand what you're saying.
I've been perplexed by it.
You're gonna tell an Israeli girl to sit down and shut the fuck up.
Yo, I've been.
You can
Yeah,
let me see
get
in your face,
Uzi.
Motherfucker.
Yo, I've been perplexed.
She's packing. I know she's packing an Uzi on her somewhere.
Dude, I seen this shit, and I'm going to, I'm saying to myself, what the fuck are you seeing in this ugly-ass motherfucker in the first place?
And then, really sad.
And then not even talking to you in a certain way. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So, Simon had a question that I asked these guys to email me some questions. So, one of the questions he said was, let me see, or was this Rich? I'm not sure. But it's, do you think the conservative view, I think this was Rich's,
and then
Simon's was kind of similar.
Yes.
So do you think that the conservative view of sex in American society contributes to sexually related crimes? I think also the suppression of sex.
Definitely.
Your question was more about perversion, right?
Well, but I think we actually tackled my question.
Yeah, you did.
My question was about, my question is, are we finding out more about things that are more sexually perverse because of free speech, but they've always been going on, or has society become more perverse?
I don't think so.
Is it the taboo that engages that, you know?
Yeah, but I honestly think that it's quite the contrary. Because if you look at movies, for instance, in the 70s, there's much more nudity, there's much more profanity.
Then.
Back
in the 70s?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you look at like...
They would have graphic scenes, you know, and stuff like that.
Oh, they would have extremely graphic scenes.
But the thing is that
profane speech.
But nobody could see that. Or nobody.
Pinpointed but it.
It wasn't as accessible. Only people, you know, like now you could see that all, you know.
I don't know, Saturday Night Fever. I mean, you watch these movies.
Yeah, but
I mean,
now 14-year-old kids are seeing this stuff.
You just said you don't have a TV. If you watch a show like Game of Thrones or Boardwalk Empire,
there is
not a woman on that show that doesn't show her breasts.
Right.
It's almost disgusting.
But a lot of that stuff
she's a great actress.
I don't need to see her.
Why does every single woman?
Yeah, because
there's not a show on HBO that doesn't have something gay in it.
I do take offense, and I've always taken offense to watching a movie.
Yeah.
For instance, what the hell was that? Desperado or something like that? Robert Rodriguez. Selma Hayek's, one of Selma Hayek's first movies where out of the blue, she takes off, you know, she's having sex with Antonio Banderas and she's completely naked. And I'm thinking, why is she there like that? I didn't need to see that than it's just gratuitous sex.
Right.
It was a good movie and then they belittle it with that shit. You know what I mean?
That's what I feel.
And I don't have a problem with nudity in TV shows or whatever, as long as it's part of the story and relevant.
If it's relevant.
Well, in the movie Airplane, they spoofed that.
Yeah.
Because the plane was going down and some random woman jumps in naked in front of the screen and jumps off.
Right. I mean, that's so stupid.
They were spoofing.
I agree. Yeah.
But at the same time, they had the same effect.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
they got to show some boobs.
Well, for me, I was 13 when I was like, oh my God, rewind.
again and again. It's like opening a card. Listening to
this song. There's so many things that we could talk about.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could have you on the show again. There's so many things to talk about. But there was an article. I mean, I read these articles. That's something to the guys. There's a 19-year-old guy, right?
Yeah.
Who works at a roller rink in Northridge.
Okay.
So this guy, Julian Christopher Flores, 19, who worked at Northridge Skateland at whatever the fuck, Parthenia Street, was arrested on December 21st after a boy told his grandmother about an incident with Flores. According to court records, I think he was touching.
The
fuck was he doing? Hold on a second.
Touching his feet. He was rubbing his feet.
He had a foot fetish. Okay?
Yes.
I just love that face you just made. I want to get to that face. He admitted he has a foot fetish and he admitted to have rubbed the feet of about 200 boys on his face and hands in the rink's maintenance room, according to court records. Okay, so number one, as a sex therapist, right? So, I don't get the fucking foot fetish thing.
You don't get it.
What is it? Tell me. Please, help me out.
Well, fetishism in general is very common and very healthy.
Right. I love it. But what's about the feet?
Go ahead.
I thought the definition of a fetish is you need it to get off.
yeah, it's partially, yeah, it's very close to the truth.
So when, how is that when, healthy?
When Binet, well, he's talking about a specific.
I don't want to get distracted.
That was one of my questions, actually. Yeah, are fetishes a result of an environment, upbringing, or are they built in from the get-go?
I just want to get into the foot fetish thing.
So I'll relate to both. First of all, fetishism is acceptable. It's common. Mm-hmm. It's very necessary for arousal. Mm-hmm. When it does become a problem is where it becomes a paraphilia, and this is what you're talking about.
Paraphilia.
Is a situation, it's a condition where it's mental, it's a mental condition.
You can't control yourself.
You can't control it, and it affects your life in a very problematic
way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, what you're talking about with this guy sounds like a paraphilia because it allows
him... He's 19 years old, so he was born with this, obviously.
Well, you know, it depends on circumstances of life and a lot of other things, but I'll relate to that. But the thing is that fetishism per se is necessary and okay.
Right.
But when it becomes a paraphilia, it becomes something that is a problem.
Do you find a link between paraphilia and roller skating rink employees?
That is a good question.
No, but I'm curious. I'm curious about the
foot fetish in general.
He's gonna go get a job at a shoe store.
Well, the first thing I thought about this, was, that seems wrong.
Well, it is
but
wrong.
But he didn't do anything.
He just rubbed
his face.
Yeah, and he came.
It didn't say that.
Well, you don't need to know it.
It says it rubbed the climax using that. It didn't say he had an orgasm.
Of course it didn't say that because it didn't show.
No, yeah. He probably just go out for the night, get a couple beers, a couple toddler feet, have a good time.
This is what he did.
He took that experience
and he put it in a spank bank and went home.
Not necessarily. He could have climaxed in his pants without anybody knowing.
Right.
Which I'm sure he did.
Right.
But I want to say about foot fetish.
But that's just as harmless as someone.
It's not harmless because it's kind of a form of a molestation.
Yeah, it is.
And it is a problem. But I want to say about foot fetishism in general, it's obviously you know about foot binding and the whole idea.
In Eastern cultures.
Right. But the thing is, it's such a fundamental thing because foot binding created such a problem in this society. I don't know if you know, it was 3 inches. Yeah. Called the 3 inches lotus.
Well, yes. I've seen a Japanese bound woman's foot.
Yes,
I've seen
it's
it in
really
a museum.
3 inches.
3 inches. Wow. Yeah.
And the thing is,
crazy.
I saw it on the Dark Mark show.
Yeah.
And then, oh my god! And the thing is, what is even more interesting and profound about it is that the 3 inches lotus that they call the bound feet is also what they call the vagina.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a big correlation between the foot and the vagina. And that is the main reason where foot fetishism comes from.
Okay. But do you think this guy, think this Latino that's 19 years old, Julian Christopher Flores, this is a subconscious thing for him?
Right.
At some point, maybe somebody molested him and rubbed their feet on his face?
I don't know his history, and so I can't make a decision.
I'm just curious about something like that.
It's definitely a paraphilia that should be attended to.
Because he's attending to it. He's got a job at the roller rink.
Someone needs to. Hold on.
Big up for your foot fetish, motherfuckers. Big up for your little three-bound foot, 3 inches, motherfucking pussy clad. Big up for all you roller skating, roller rink motherfuckers, you know what I mean?
Yo, to all my Northridge roller skate rinking, foot fetish and rubbing, toe clipping, toenail licking motherfuckers.
See, a part of me thought, fuck, this guy should have waited maybe 10 years. So when he's 29.
Well, he cannot. That's the thing.
Well, here's the thing. You wait till you're 29.
No, it's hard to wait. You see all these little feet walking by.
Hold it. You wait till you're 29.
They're wearing their SpongeBob light-up shoes.
Dude, you wait till you're 29, and then you get a job at a fucking foot spa.
I know.
And you fucking get paid to rub women's feet.
Well, no.
He just didn't think it through.
No, it's not even that. I don't think he can control it.
Right.
When it's a paraphilia, you cannot really control it.
Right.
Yeah.
So then here's the other thing that I was reading. There's a 28-year-old Fullerton teacher. Her name was Melissa Lindgren, 28, of La Mirada. Mm-hmm. So she's teaching, junior high school students.
Yes.
And she gets busted, or I guess the story goes... She was having inappropriate relationships with two boys, probably more than just two boys. And they were between the ages of 13 and 15. In the classroom, in the car, exchanging texts. She was sending
them. Did she sleep with him?
It wasn't clear.
Okay.
But she was sending them inappropriate texts with her nudes.
It was a sexual relationship.
Yeah. So
of sexual
I'm trying to find
this. Yeah, she's coming on the show next week.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this other fucking article, these dumb articles. The website didn't open up. Anyway.
What was the problem?
Well, no, the problem is that I'm thinking that's every boy's fantasy to have their teacher.
It is very funny. I don't know if you caught my last show, but I actually spoke about it, and I brought the story of Mary Kay Letourneau as, I don't know if you guys remember. She was a blonde teacher that had an affair with her second grade.
I think I remember that.
Yes.
That was a few years ago, right?
In the late 90s, and they're married.
She's out of jail
they have
now.
Four kids.
Yeah.
They have four kids together. She was in jail for a long time. She had their second child actually in jail. And so what I have to say about this is that, of course, I cannot condone, you know, a grown woman taking advantage of a child. It doesn't matter if it's a fantasy.
Right.
And by the way, they were, as a couple, hosting a lot of evenings, like fun evenings called Hot for Teacher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have to say that it's a masturbation theme. And I find it very hypocritical in society. That we are. This is the reverse double standard.
Yeah.
Because if a man, and I gave the example of Woody Allen, and again, I'm not saying anything, and she was 20, and I'm not going to go into this whole relationship that he had with his adopted
daughter. Right.
But in general, when a man is having a relationship with a younger woman, even if she's not underage, everybody is looking at him as the dirty old man. But when a woman, because she's attractive and there's a kid that she's touching, everybody's like, oh, I wish my teacher was fucking me.
Right.
You know, it's like, I really don't appreciate it. That's a problem with society again.
And then right after Mary Kay, there was that really hot girl down in Florida.
Yeah,
and
all of them were hot.
She was smoking hot. Yeah. She was a bombshell.
But I'm saying, this woman is...
That had one newspaper article. We never heard of it again. Yeah, so I guess if you're hot...
This woman is attractive. They're usually fairly attractive.
They are. And they were all like blonde, like Christie Brinkley.
Yeah,
wholesome.
Exactly.
Yes. So, but this is society. I'm glad if I'm 13 and I'm getting laid, that's great. You know,
are you kidding me? If I was in fifth grade, you know how many fucking times I didn't even know how to jerk off at that age?
Right.
Straight up.
Yeah,
I made out with my babysitter, but she was only like 2 years old.
You know how much sexual...
When I was 11, she was 13.
Do you know how much sexual repression...
with an older woman.
Yeah.
You know how much sexual repression there is?
Yeah.
I touched older tits.
From when you're an adolescent to the time you get to have your first sexual experience as a man.
Yeah.
I mean, as a boy, at the age of 13, I mean, I could see if she's abusing them, that's another story. But if she's...
Yeah, but this is rape, you know, by law.
Yeah.
But the thing is, society looks at it as, oh, wow, that's great. Everybody's masturbating about it.
Well, but really, society has put safeguards in place. We've set a cutoff point.
Right.
18 is the cutoff point in most states.
Yes, there is age of consent. It's true, but the thing is still, I'm not talking about law-wise, I'm talking about society, the way we look at it.
Yeah, $100,000 bail. This happened sometime in February. She's due April 9th, which was yesterday, that's why I looked it up, to be in court.
Yes.
So I had this other article. Anyway, my whole thing was that the boys, this happened for 2 years.
Yes.
So the boys were consensual. You know, it was consensual.
Yeah, but then they're not, they cannot be consensual because they're kids. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be, like, if you molest, there's kids that get molested by their uncles over the course of 10 years.
Right.
Is it consensual? Like, length of time doesn't...
Yeah, but family is a taboo.
Yeah, but if you have a teacher...
But the thing is that the teacher should know better.
It's not even that. And when you are underage, this is where the law comes in.
Right.
Yes, especially if there's hierarchy, if that's a teacher and a student.
Somebody has more power over you.
Right, and I want to say something about family with taboos.
Yes.
By the way, incest is not against the law if it's two adults. So a father can have sex with his daughter.
And that is our National Sibling Day announcement. Today is National Sibling Day.
Yes. But the thing is, you know, it's so again.
Support for NPR comes from National Sibling Day. If you want to rub and tug your brother, do it today.
It's okay.
Oh, my God. But yeah, I mean, society's screwed.
Support for NPR.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're coming down to the last couple of minutes of the show.
Yes.
So there's so many questions.
Wait, there's one
ask.
Here. Slut versus whore.
I'll tell that was my favorite.
I'll tell you the difference. A slut is a free whore.
No. Women,
the other one was just a little more
of a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Slut and a whore.
Okay, so real quick. From a woman's perspective, because
yes.
I hear Ginger Lynn, who has a show, she'll be like, I'm a slut, not a whore. Some women will go this, that, and the other. What is the difference, and why should anybody care?
Well, I have, and I want to say before I answer it, I want to say that I completely support prostitution, and I think it's necessary. I think in every
that's another
society,
show. Hold on. You're coming on the show when we do a show on prostitution.
I think it's very necessary.
Okay.
But see, the state has to tell what a woman can and can't do.
That's not the question.
Well, you know, right? So I can go on and go about this, but it's a problem.
Whore.
A slut and a whore. To me, they're both disgusting topics.
Terms.
That shouldn't really be related to women. Because you should do whatever the fuck you want.
Sure.
And slut shaming or whore shaming is the same.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To me, and I have to say this, the women get most of these accusations by women.
Right.
Hmm. Yes. And this is scientifically proven.
Right.
I'm talking
cattiness.
Empirically. And the last thing I'll say is that the proof to it is even in history or even in literature, when you read The Scarlet Letter, Hawthorne's, you see that the women in the story were more interested in the heroine's death than any other people in the society.
Got it.
They were, I can even quote from that
Got
book.
It.
But they were really interested in putting the hussy to death because she was doing something against their
Well, but also it's the pecking order, especially back in the ancient world. Your sexuality was was your sword.
Right.
So,
and same today.
So we have 50-something seconds, so we're going to tighten this all up. Sex and Dippity is on what day
on
again?
On Sunday between 5 and 6.
Sunday nights between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. here on SkidRowStudios.com. Catch Dr. Lamour Blockman's show, Sex and Dippity. Get more of her insight on it. We definitely got to have you back. There's no way. I mean, there's some 50 million questions. Prostitution is an amazing topic.
Yes.
I'm definitely interested. As soon as we figure it out, I'll see if you can come back and do it.
Yeah, we're going to have a collection box in the corner.
Yeah. All right. So thanks for tuning into Nestorius Public Radio. Check us out on Facebook, Nestorius Public Radio. That's / Nestorius Public Radio. Follow us on Twitter, Nestorius NYC. And check us out every Thursday night, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tell your motherfucking friends. You know what I'm saying? Eastern Standard Time, midnight to 1 a.m. East Coast, motherfuckers.